Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU, 2010 to 2019.
Good morning. It is the morning after. It is the New Zealand Music Month segment. It is the 2010s. And what else, Ben?
It is in the presence of Jamie Stratton. Good morning.
How are you doing this fine Tuesday? I always forget the day.
Nice.
Not too bad.
Not too early.
Nice and early, yeah.
See, the fact that we have you in studio, so pleased. The full circle moments just keep on coming because normally you're through there.
Usually see you through the glass behind us. Yeah, pretty much.
It's looming.
Well, we'll get some background to start off.
Yes.
So the year is 2010 to, 2019 or so. What are you up to? What's Jamie doing in those years?
He's playing in lots of bands, probably more so than any other time. He's doing a show on RDU.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of jumping between jobs and study and fucking around.
nice, that's the way
honestly,
to go.
Honestly, do you think that most people in Christchurch deal with that same, I guess, having lots of jobs, doing lots of different odd things around instead of just one focused
career
music
path.
Thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it takes you a while to work out what's going on.
I think it's also a younger person thing as well.
For sure. We have like, we have 10 jobs throughout our lives.
Yeah, definitely.
So we fun fact for you.
Well, what was the, I mean, obviously 2010, as we talk about this year, is the year that we go from, there's a lot of big changes around the city. So in like, we'll start with early 2010 now. What was the, scene like when you were playing in bands, doing gigs, all that kind of stuff?
I guess it's kind of like pre and post earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-earthquake, things were going really well.
Mm-hmm.
There were heaps of venues. There were heaps of all ages venues, which was really cool.
Cool.
And so many gigs. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, there was three or four things you were having to decide between or hop between gigs. Audiences were big. There's heaps of people around. And then obviously the earthquakes.
Yeah.
And then I think a lot of people up and left. There wasn't enough going on for them.
Mm. Yeah.
So things sort of slowed down a bit. But I think the people that stayed were the ones who were, I guess, more dedicated to Christchurch music and making things happen. So there was a lot of fun stuff going on, a lot of DIY stuff because there weren't the venues, there weren't the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Heaps of cool gigs in weird places, bowling clubs, warehouses.
Mm.
It was a fun time.
That's cool.
There was a lot of
new stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of punk, a lot of very different out there stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I think was very different compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely.
I just don't think that the city was expecting the level of innovation that we had post-quake.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to
respects.
That? Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like great in some places, but awful in others too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the city was kind of stagnating. People could see it, but there was heaps going on. RDU had the horse truck going.
Yeah.
Which had some very, very good times broadcasting out of that. It's parked up in various backyards around Christchurch.
Nice.
So that was a cool time. And just heaps of really good music coming out of Christchurch. You had Melted Ice Cream, who were kind of starting up. They put out their first compilation in 2013, which was a good wee look into what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And speaking of good music, we have some. And the first one is Dance Asthmatics with Liquid Lunch. Do you want to tell us why you picked this song?
I think this is probably my favourite song from the decade.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome band. Joe, who you spoke to yesterday, obviously, from T54 and Salad Boys. Brian Ferry from Melted Ice Cream. Steve from BNP. Just a great combination. And some of their gigs were just outrageously good.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's give it a spin. And I say that with a full meaning this time because it is actually a vinyl. Let's play. We'll be right back.
to be infected. Just think about it. Your anus torn out and shoved down your throat. I imagine it's incredibly painful. Do you know what it feels like to have your anus torn out and shoved down your throat?
What a great song.
Good way to start the morning.
That is a good way to start the morning.
So good.
You said to us right as it started, which made us both feel a tinge of FOMO that you had to see that live. And I was just like, I wish I did, you know? So that was great.
Maybe one day. Else that Josh said in the break was how every time we see a performance with a different band, I just want to ensure that's in the podcast by me saying this. That's all.
So we were talking before about... pre-earthquake, post-earthquake. So when, post-earthquake happened, what was the response from the music community? Was it fairly quick that people got new things up and running, or was it like kind of a slower process to get there?
No, I think it was fairly quick. Like, people didn't stop playing music. They didn't stop wanting to go and see music.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a lack of infrastructure to make it happen. So people made it happen, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some venues were pretty quick to pop up. The Dark Room.
Yeah.
Which I think started as a speakeasy
in someone's house,
and then they obviously got the space. And yeah, that was one of the main sort of alternative venues, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry Nicol leased a warehouse There were a bunch of punk guys living there. They built a studio and they had a heap of gigs there later on. They did a lot of dance parties there as well.
Cool.
So that was a real focal point, I think. And then those guys were organising Punk Fest, which was a big sort of once a year national punk fest down in Christchurch. People would come from everywhere and it was just a weekend of really awesome music.
Nice. Yeah. I can't help but it kind of reminds me when we were talking to people from the 80s and they were talking about the punk scene and the rock scene and it was always, you know, warehouses and all these kind of underground things. It almost feels like there was a return back to that when after the earthquake, you know, people were just setting things up in garages and doing it kind of however they could because there wasn't the same level of infrastructure. Was that something that was ever mentioned or am I just pulling that out of my backside?
I guess it was similar. Yeah, people just want to party.
Yeah,
so you find a way to help.
Yeah, that sounds like.
See, at the same time as you saying that punk had its insurgence post-quake, I still don't think that Otatahi is known for its punk scene. So what would you say are the most pivotal and, I guess, Christchurch genres post-quake?
I mean, punk was massive pre-quake as well. It didn't really have a resurgence after the quake. Yeah, I guess it was just kind of the... A lot of the scenes merged together almost. Pre-quake, you know, you'd a lot of people would only go to certain genres. There were certain crowds that would go to certain gigs. And then post-quake, you would see a lot of the same people, you know, at a soft indie gig and then a hardcore punk gig the next night.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, again, just because the audiences were smaller and people were possibly more willing to go see some other stuff.
You kind of have to like it all because otherwise you can't see any new music, right?
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was really, really great community that was going on, I think. That's cool. Especially down at Log Recording.
Awesome. And this next track that we have ties into that. We have Longhorn Bread by Evil Faces.
Close.
Breed.
Loghorn Breed.
Breed. Oh, yeah. Gosh,
so this was a couple of the guys that were living at Log Recording.
That makes sense.
And this was a split they did with Girls Pissing on Girls Pissing.
We need to take a real quick step back. We can't just brush over the fact that someone was called Girls Pissing on Girls Pissing.
You should, there'll be some on playlist. You should give it a listen.
I will.
It's okay, Casey we'll and Aki and some others from Auckland. Again, you know, quite an abrasive punk band, I suppose. They're really good. And yeah, they did a split with Loghorn on Musai in 2016. So I thought I'd play a track off that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's give it a listen.
Girls pissing.
A whirl.
Girls pissing.
On girls pissing.
Exactly.
Fight!
Oh, another wonderful track. We were just talking about how punk bands always have the best names for songs and for bands. Is there any that spring to mind as just like hilarious or insanely horrific song titles?
Nothing off the top of my head. There is a lot, though. You don't have to dig far.
you don't have to go far to find them.
So, at this point, we're halfway through the segment. So, what? 2005 onwards? Where were
no,
you
2015 onwards.
You're right. See?
Thank you.
Time flies when we're having fun. 2015, you're right, as I was saying. Yeah. So, where were you?
Same thing, playing in lots of bands. That's kind of when I started getting more into audio. Went to Mainz and started doing a lot of live sound and recording. Yeah, so I guess sort of getting into it from another angle as well.
Yeah. What encouraged you to get into it from that kind of angle? You know, you're already playing music and that kind of stuff. What made you decide to be like, oh, I want to do some more of the, you know, audio engineering side of things?
I was already doing a lot of it and I was just really awful at it. But I think the big thing was I was working a fucking horrible job and turned 24, so I get student allowance. So I was like, sweet, what am I going to go study?
Yeah.
This looks pretty good. So, yeah.
Nice.
Just went and did that for a few years.
Still where to go.
Yeah.
What would you say to people who are like, I want to do production of audio, but I don't know what to do? Like, what would you say to people who are budding?
I mean, you don't need to go study to learn it. You can just put in the time. But it's a great way to spend a couple of years on the government's dime. learning some cool shit, playing with cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's just thinking, I'm going back to uni in 2 years now, you know? Get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Posh is going to come to job.
Like, yeah, there's no work, but that's all good.
Yeah. You got government money, you know?
Yeah. So you're not doing it for the work. What are you doing it for?
I did it to learn stuff.
Do you think that's. Something that is prominent in Christchurch? I feel like from a lot of people that we've talked to, you know, most of the time when we ask them, why'd you start or why'd you get into it, how'd you get into it, it's always just because, like, well, I just really liked it and then I just fell into the job, you know?
Yeah, I guess, like, especially the indie scene is very DIY. Everyone's recording themselves. Now that technology is so cheap, you know, anyone can make half-decent recordings in their bedroom. But even, like, sort of earlier on in the decade when stuff wasn't quite this cheap, you know, people were just recording to four tracks. Like that Dance Asthmatics track in the liner notes says it was recorded at London Street using the alpaca technique.
I feel like that's fancy language to disguise what it is.
I think it's something Brian and Joe made up, which was where they would track drums to a four-track tape and then overdub digitally on the computer. But yeah, that was done at London Street, which I think half the Melted Ice Cream catalog was recorded or mixed there.
That's super cool.
Right on. Yeah. Well, should we get to the third track?
I think we should. This one is San Pedro from Wasting by Dopra. Why'd you pick it?
Yeah, take us through it.
Kind of came out of nowhere. It was really popular, very different, kind of a bit more electronic, slightly on the trip hop side of things. But they were playing in the same circles as, you know, the punk bands and the indie bands. They sort of blew up for a while.
I mean, their description is a sinister and evil cult which lures young people into drug taking on Bandcamp. So, you know, if there's any young people out there now, make sure your ears are open because this is the time to be indoctrinated. This is San Pedro from Wasting by Dope.
Indoctrinated.
Thank you.
Oh, another great track. Different to the last few.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember they played a gig at the Dark Room and I couldn't find anyone to go with, so I thought, screw it, I'll go by myself.
Nice.
And it was sold out and absolutely packed in there, and I knew maybe two people. And I just remember feeling really excited for Christchurch music because there were a lot of half-empty gigs kind of around that time. There weren't heaps of people. Yeah, and it was just really exciting to see a room full of people with no familiar faces seeing live local music.
Definitely. Would you say that as 2010 went on, things got more and more packed out? I mean, I feel like when we go to gigs now, they're most of the time, you know, at least fairly packed.
Yeah, I think guitar music, sort of more in the popular sphere, is making a bit of a comeback, which obviously has the flow on down to the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uni bands at the moment, which, you know, 5-6 years ago, you'd look to uni and struggle to see anyone with a guitar. And I think also, like, props to the Dark Room for bringing a lot of those bands into the city.
Yeah.
And then obviously they're fans, and then they stick around and see other local non-uni bands. Mm-hmm. So I think that's helped sort of build up the audiences a bit. But yeah, a lot of that poppy soft guitar music is very popular at the moment.
And do you like said music?
You can't ask him.
I asked that. The silence falls across.
You can
plead
the fifth.
I'm not gonna talk shit about anyone, but you know,
no,
you always have stuff you like and stuff you don't like.
So no, of course.
Yeah. No, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. As you know, we're only a couple years removed from the 2010s.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see? I guess, you know, either come back and have a bigger impact in the city, or what are some things you want to see happen with the music industry in Christchurch as we continue?
I think just keep building, people keep going to gigs, supporting musicians, buying their shit.
Yeah.
Because no one's getting rich.
You've done it for passion, right?
Yeah, same with the venues, supporting the venues. There's a few cool venues now, especially down like on Sinassa Street with Space Academy, Dark Room and 12 Bar. It's a cool wee scene going on.
So it's a triangle.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday night, and like there were three gigs going off.
Nice.
Everywhere was packed. It was cool.
That's so cool. Also, I want to ask, because I feel like you always find music that I just don't quite understand how you find. For instance, the next song we're about to play, Nakey, Fuck Yeah, it's only got like a couple, you know, just over 5,000 views on YouTube, which I mean is a great number, but like
it's quite a lot for
But like, how do you find, and how do other people find these local talents in Christchurch?
Listen to RDU. No, I guess it just flows on. You know, you go to gigs, you go to a gig to see one band, and there might be three supports you've never seen, and or you know, someone from one band will start a new band or join a new band, and Christchurch is very incestuous with band members, you know.
Well, yeah.
Most people are in half a dozen bands.
Yourself included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a call out.
Yeah, like,
no, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
I don't think it's necessarily like streaming or technology where you find this stuff. It's just leaving the house.
Yeah.
It's a battle you have to do.
That's why I'm failing.
Yeah, this Nakey song's a bit of a silly one. I think from what I heard, it was a few of the guys from Dopera, Stephen, I think Matt Gunn and Jonty, Zane 2000, and I think they had some spare studio time left after they finished recording the Doper EP.
Oh, yeah.
So they just kind of fucked around and did something silly, which is this. The video is excellent.
It is. I'm looking at the first frame and I already love it. Yeah. It's just like a dingy student flat with like...
I thought something a bit silly to finish the podcast after the intense stuff to start.
It's a good way to go.
We thank you for it, Jamie Stratton. It's been great talking to you this morning.
Thank you very much.
Play it out.
We'll play you out with Nakey, Oh Yeah, Fuck Yeah. You know what else I like about songs like this? Is it means I get to swear, like, on the radio, and I'm like, look, I'll sign the name of the song.
What's the name of the song? I forgot.
It's Oh Yeah, Fuck Yeah. Let's give it a listen.
To the bottom to be found by Christine.
Vicky McPhee, searching through the net of some fishing guy for her LSD. 27 tabs and some peyote. She had PCP. That's a lot of drugs, Christy McPhee. Whoa. Smoked more PCP, took a step back and slid to the seat. She played blast beat. Man, I love it when she plays blast beat. Whoa.
Been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.